you have refused to see me, my dear. You'd rather I'd be all alone. Still I can't forget the kisses we knew and the days when I called you my own. I'm sorry we met, it's hard to forget the days that used to be. Although you weren't true, I still think of you, and your memory is so dear to me. Though you found another and you loved him too, my heart is broken, I'm sad and I'm blue.
Blue balls.
I am sorry we met.
Brian.
It's so hard to forget.
She's loving another. All right, everybody. It's the Brian and Vinny Show here on the program. Sorry to interrupt his yodeling. Here on the program, or this is the program, here on the website, I feel like Buff Bagwell. If you haven't listened to that show yet today, it's one not to miss, everybody.
Is Buff having a hard time?
It's one not to miss, everyone. And boy, therealbuff.com, let me tell you. Head over there, check it out. I wanted to make mention that tomorrow's planned show with Dr. Luch, Steve Sims, and Conan being delayed. There's actually a AAA press conference that is taking place tomorrow for Triple Mania. So, unfortunately, that was a bigger priority for Conan than this program.
Oh, come on now.
But he is going to be on this coming Friday with Dr. Lucha, so we're just going to move it to Friday. Friday is a huge day. I actually can't believe what a big day it is. We're going to have, in the morning, on Figure Four Daily, Dr. Lucha, Steve Sims, and Conan, as noted. That's in the morning. In the afternoon, Jim Mitchell and Mikey Whipwreck.
Excellent.
Are going to be on the program at the same time.
That's tremendous news.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. If your subscription is coming to the end in the next couple of days, I recommend renewing it because I've talked to Mikey. Actually, some of the most interesting things I've talked to Mikey about have absolutely nothing to do with wrestling. And so you can imagine some of the things that they're going to talk about on this program that have to do with wrestling. Need these two men to spend a lot of time together. A lot of time together, everybody. This show is going to be great. I can't imagine it not being great. Especially, listen to the Buff Bagwell show first. And then listen to Mikey and the Devil. It's going to be great.
On that note, I type The Real Buff into Google, and it suggests, this is what they're suggesting, everyone, The Real Buff Bastard.
Oh, poor Bagwell. Hey, he did a hell of a job today.
So then I searched The Real Buff, and the first one is The Real Buff Bagwell, and the description of the site is Ab Machine.
Yeah, I did see that today. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. But one of the selling points on his website is you can click on a video of him getting his neck broken in WCW.
Oh, there it is. Bio Gallery Broken Neck.
Yeah.
What I see is a picture of Buff, and he's standing there, he's flexing, he looks in great shape. Says the official website of Buff Bagwell. Buff's news of the day. First two words. Hi, guy.
Hey, guy. All right, we got to move on here. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Listen, we have not watched NXT yet. I know that everybody wants to hear about what the hell's going on. We're going to review the actual show on Thursday, but I will give out a little bit of news here, kind of a teaser. We'll talk more about this tomorrow with Dave. It's not even a spoiler since the show already aired. They actually eliminated three people today. They eliminated Michael Tarver and Daniel Bryan because they both asked for it last week, essentially.
Hmm.
They're gone. They also eliminated Skip Sheffield, of all people. The guy who either won or came in second for almost all of the physical challenges got cut. I don't agree with that, but I'm not one of the judges. So Daniel Bryan did, in fact, cut a promo saying that he's now Bryan Danielson.
What?
So,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's going to probably be going to Raw or SmackDown. Here's the deal. Oh, and also, SmackDown spoiler here. So you may want to skip forward if you don't want to hear a SmackDown spoiler, since this is also newsworthy. You've had your fair warning there. Drew McIntyre is back. He's been reinstated. Kofi Kingston won the title, but then, per the orders of Vince McMahon, who did not appear live, he only sent out a piece of paper, Kofi was stripped of the title, it was given back to Drew, and Drew was reinstated because Teddy Long abused his power by what he did last week. Now, I know that if you read the Daily Update today, you read about some plans that they had, and yes, I can confirm that there was major rewriting in the last couple of days. They rewrote a bunch of ideas for SmackDown. Obviously, they rewrote the hell out of NXT, which was obvious on Raw as well when Daniel Bryan got his first big win. And the idea of NXT going through August or September, out the window. I don't know what the idea is. I guess they're just going to try and get this goddamn thing over with now. They eliminated three guys today. They're eliminating another guy next week. And they want the winner to either get his title match at the July pay-per-view, which I think is Night of the Champions. They want him getting his match either July or at SummerSlam. So they are moving forward. They are moving a little faster now to, I guess, get this over with because the ratings are horrendous. Nobody's watching this show. They've given up on the concept, apparently. And now they'll move, hopefully, Bryan Danielson on to bigger and better things. I don't have high hopes for Michael Tarver. And the idea with Drew was they were going to hold it off until after the pay-per-view. This was as of yesterday. They changed their minds again. He's already back. So that's the update. That's the news. We'll review the shows on Thursday. But that's pretty much everything.
It sounds like shit.
Well, it's everything I can think of off the top of my head there. I know there's probably more. But that's the gist of the news on NXT and SmackDown. So there you go.
Huh.
Yeah. I guess we should probably talk about that SmackDown.
I guess so.
We should probably talk about what happened with Drew McIntyre, which a storyline that lasted an entire week. Way to go,
look,
guys.
All in great bewilderment and accomplished, amounted to nothing.
Yes.
So, yeah, SmackDown opened. I hit the DVR, and there's always the episode info. The episode description for this one read, World Heavyweight Champ Jack Swagger plus news on the Intercontinental Championship.
Gee, how'd they know that?
Which was interesting because, yes, if you do not have spoilers, all you do going into the show was that Drew McIntyre was champion.
That sounds like
what
Impact.
News could there be? Yes. So Matt Hardy came out.
But at least this was the cable preview, and it wasn't a title for their own fucking show.
That's
like
true.
Impact would do.
That's true. Matt came out. He showed clips of Drew beating him up over and over again. He challenged Drew to come out, and Drew did. Declared himself the future of the company, said Vince had called him that, and he was thus untouchable. Matt dared him to get in the ring. Drew did. They had a fight. The refs broke it up, but Drew laid out Matt from behind. Kept beating on him, so Teddy Long came out and suspended him. And Drew kept beating on him, so Teddy stripped him of the title, and Drew kept beating on him, and Teddy fired him. That all took maybe 60 seconds from suspension to stripping to firing.
Yeah.
Way too fast. I guess it doesn't matter. We're now analyzing an angle that has already been rendered null and void.
Actually, there was more. I just remembered this. So, remember Matt sent out that weird tweet? Like,
yes.
After it happened?
Yes.
And he sends out this tweet and says something like, please, every time you see Drew chant, we want Matt, this feud is not over, or something like that. And I was like, what a stupid thing to tweet. Number one, when are we going to see Drew? He's been fired.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, if the angle is that he's been fired, why are you saying this feud is going to continue? You just spoiled it.
I don't have an answer for that.
Well, he fucked up, but there was kind of a method to the madness, because I guess what the idea was, the reason it was going to go until after the pay-per-view was, and this was the idea yesterday, mind you, Monday, the idea was that Matt was going to come out, I guess, every week and try and get the people to chant. He basically wanted to get the people behind him in his quest to have Drew reinstated. Matt was the one who was going to petition Teddy Long or petition Vince or whatever the deal was going to be. He wanted him back so badly that he was going to beg for him to be reinstated.
Hmm.
Anyway, that's all out the window.
Yes.
But still, he fucked it up with the tweet by saying, please chant We Want Matt every time you see Drew. Maybe they should chant We Want Drew every time they see Matt.
I guess. That's what he meant to say.
Which would have been stupid, but regardless, this whole thing was fucking dumb. The angle was fine. It was rushed. But the way this whole thing came about, man.
It did. This comment was rendered null and void about a half hour later into the show and is now completely useless, but I will make it anyway. When this is done, you had Drew McIntyre, who, by the way, was completely didn't care about being fired.
Yeah.
He just said whatever.
Well, it was the deal. He came out and said he was untouchable.
Yes. And he was declaring that, and Vince would take care of him. But they had this thing set up perfectly for Drew to go to Raw and Matt to win the tournament, and they would now be on different shows, and then Matt could, he could lobby for a match with Drew down the road. Never mind.
No, there's a lot of things they could have done, but...
Yeah.
They didn't do any of them.
So we had an interview with Teddy Long
backstage.
And by
backstage. The way, did Matt ever look like a douchebag? He challenged the guy to come to the ring.
Yes.
The guy came to the ring. They had a face-to-face fight. And Drew
got his ass kicked.
Beat him up so badly that he was suspended, stripped, and then fired.
Yes.
Way to go, Matt. Way to go.
So speaking of guys looking douchey...
And don't tell me that Drew hit him from behind because it started his face-to-face battle. If Matt was stupid enough to turn the back on the guy, he looks like an idiot.
Yeah.
He just looked like a fool here.
So they interviewed Teddy Long backstage, and he suddenly had no confidence, had no idea what he was going to do about the Intercontinental Belt, shook his head and walked away.
Yeah, he was during the first part. He was all showing his power and all had a lot of moxie. Anyway, he went backstage and he was just a complete pussy. He's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, and. Didn't know what to do.
Like, this was the worst thing that had ever happened to him.
Like, he was doomed for sure.
And he's the one who fired the guy.
An idiot.
So, yeah. So, we had MVP versus Luke Gallows. They're having a fun little match when Ray ran through the crowd and laid out Punk on the outside. Gallows was distracted, and he turned around, and MVP hit the pay dirt or the play of the day or the jumping face-busting thing, and he won. And it was fine, but... what it led to is more important than the segment itself, because it led to CM Punk being very angry. He called Rey Mysterio a coward, demanded that Rey come out and face him. So Rey came out and asked, Punk, are you upset? Is it because I jumped you from behind? To which CM Punk replied, yes. Yes, it is. Awesome. So Rey said he was giving Punk a taste of his own medicine, since the mystery man had been attacking him from behind repeatedly. He demanded to know where the mystery man was. Punk pleaded ignorance, said there was no mystery man. Suggested Ray's mask was filled with hallucinogenics. Said Ray was blaming other people for his losses and problems, just like the fans. He said Ray really wanted to be saved, and pointed out that he wanted extreme rules. And Ray said, well, I want WrestleMania, so we're even. Then he issued a challenge for Over the Limit. Said if he loses, he'll join the Straighter Society. If Punk loses, Ray can shave his head. Punk was down with his challenge, so Ray went and won better and said, I will join the SES tonight if you shave your head right now. So Punk said no.
Which, by the way, what a goofy offer. If you shave your head right now, I'll just go with you and your goofs.
Well, the point being, if Punk was willing to shave his head, it would show that he was willing to make a sacrifice to demonstrate what living a drug-free and alcohol life can do for you. But he's not. You see, that's the key.
Yeah, but what if he would have said yes?
Well, then that is a good and pure message. Mm. As it is, it's all an ego trip for CM Punk, you see. Mm. Or you can just think to yourself, perhaps Ray was bluffing.
Perhaps he was dumb.
Or perhaps he was just stupid.
This was the best Ray Mysterio promo maybe of his career.
It was really great.
Actually. I thought Ray was awesome here, but that was odd. I mean, you've made the challenge for the match, but then you say, hey, you shave it right now, I'll join your wacky crew.
He did that to show that it shows... A, that Punk's message is hollow, and B, that Punk is not willing to part with his hair under any circumstances. So when he gets his head shaved, it'll be a bigger deal. This segment may have gone a little long, but on the whole, it was really awesome. It was one of Ray's best promos ever. It was one of Punk's better promos. It was just a giant thumbs up and fantastic television.
Then we had Layla Michelle against Kelly and Tiffany.
Kelly and Tiffany, the team from hell!
Kelly and Tiffany, everyone. Imagine this team. Well, it was worse.
They aired a miserable skit from Superstars. I can't even describe this. It was the girls being mean to the new girl on television. And they cut to the ring where Kelly and Tiffany had to watch the video and then act. then they wrestled.
Kelly had to look sad.
They are calling her Smelly Kelly.
Yeah.
This is no longer a PG show. It is a G show.
Yeah.
So they did this match, and Michelle was in there with Tiffany. And Tiffany went for a monkey flip, and Michelle did a full flip and landed on her feet and showed off. And then she turned around, and Tiffany just monkey flipped her again.
And she landed on her ass.
She landed on her ass, and she rolled outside and screamed, "Ah, my butt hurts."
She realizes what this is.
This was wrestling for six-year-olds. Six-year-old girls, in fact.
So, Kelly did this comeback with the worst dropkicks I've ever seen.
And a one-footed dropkick to the pelvis, and then she blew her handspring elbow.
Well, as she's doing these horrendous dropkicks, the teacher's explaining that you could all see she was once a gymnast. And I thought...
Can you now?
Really? Of all the times to make that statement. He didn't even make it when she screwed up her round-off back handspring. He said it when she did horrible dropkicks. And then, yes, she did screw up the round-off back handspring, landed in the ropes, and Layla just hit her. And then Layla ended up pinning Tiffany with a neck breaker. Layla on the win streak here, by the way. This was god-awful.
This sucked. Speaking of things that sucked, Teddy Long had come to a decision about the fate of the Intercontinental title. He was booking a tournament with four men. In all of SmackDown, he could only come up with four worthy contenders.
And what four they were?
Christian versus Cody Rhodes will be one semifinal, and the other will be Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
So I went looking for more guys just on the SmackDown roster who, you know, maybe they would raise their hand and say, I would like a shot at this tournament. Kane never loses. Not on this. Shad and JTG just split up. They don't want to be in the tournament. The Dude Busters don't want any gold. Chavo just showed up. For that matter, Ray and Punk.
Yeah.
No?
Just this title is below all these men.
Yes. It's just a bunch of goofs with nothing better to do.
Kofi and Dolph started out boring to the point where people were actually doing the wave. The teacher got in a line about how Kofi was going to win the title and take it back to Ghana where, quote, Prince Nana will be waiting.
Yes, that was the highlight of the match.
I cannot believe this made the air. Well, it actually just shows you a lot about the people in charge of this show.
You have no idea, yeah.
No idea. So
I think he should work in one Ring of Honor reference a week until they cut him off.
So Dolph finally went for the sleeper, and this is where it kind of picked up. The hold is kind of over, I guess. And Kofi ended up sending him face first to the ropes, and then Dolph took it with his teeth, and then he got hit with the wacky kick for the pin. Last couple of minutes, really good. Rest of the match, meh.
And the sleeper hold push for Dolph Ziggler lasted like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He beat the Giant. He beat the Midget. I think he beat one other guy last week, and that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he beat the announcer. The Giant, the Midget, and the announcer. That
well, you forget they mentioned he beat Kane with it, when in reality he just won via count out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we had Christian versus Cody Rhodes. Fairly early in the match, Cody hit a very scary top rope superplex, and Grisham asked, why would Cody do that? I didn't have an answer. And it didn't even get a very good reaction. And they was not close to the finish. They kept wrestling for like five more minutes. The good news is, it was really great.
Yeah.
They were trading finishers. The crowd was into everything. Christian finally won with the kill switch. This is basically a pay-per-view quality match we got to see for free here on SmackDown.
Christian's always great. Carried Cody to a great match. Cody needs to think twice about the no knee pad moonsaults. Probably not good for your future when you're, you know, 40. But otherwise, awesome match. Great TV match. One of the best SmackDown matches in a while. And, yeah, Christian won. So that, of course, led to, well, what we just talked about here. But good stuff here in this battle.
So we had a Jack Swagger promo. He made a bunch of absurd claims, such as that he was the first high school athlete to win an ESPY, a Heisman contender in 2002, claimed to be a champion in tennis and chess, bragging about assorted other things he may or may not have done. And meanwhile, the whole time, Big Show was taking the short bus to school, and he kept going on this until Kane interrupted, which led to Jack Swagger versus Kane. They did mat wrestling at the beginning, and Kane out-wrestled him.
He did.
Kane. Fucking Kane.
Oh, he's got size.
And apparently superior skill as well.
Well, he's got size on the man.
So Big Show came out to watch. Said he was too big for Swagger's amateur stuff, which I guess Kane was too big and Big Show's much bigger.
Mm.
He discussed the time Big Show broke the ring on SmackDown, and the show claimed Vince made him pay for the ring.
Yeah.
Great line. So they're having a match, and it was actually, it was good. There was
the size of his suit, by the way.
He is a very large man in a very large suit.
By God.
I'm still...
I you could have... This is not even a joke. You could have made a tent out of that.
He, yes, it was a large suit. I still think, as far as the massive clothing items go, I was still more impressed by the time Mark Henry was wearing baggy jeans.
Yeah.
But, yes, this was a lot of fabric. So, yeah, they were having a pretty good match, and then a turnbuckle got exposed, and Swagger rammed Kane into it several times and was disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
What shit?
It was lame.
It was very lame. So
the idea is that you're going to face a giant, so you beat a giant in the match leading up to the pay-per-view match with the giant. Oh, no. No, couldn't even beat the giant here. Not even beat Kane.
Are they going to add
who
Kane?
Who lost to Dolph Ziggler, I might add.
Are they going to add Kane and make it a three-way?
Fuck, I hope not.
Yeah.
I hadn't even considered
that's
such
the
a
only thing
tragedy.
I could think of that made any sense, but even then, there's better ways to set it up. So they brawled more. Kane set up the table for a chokeslam, and Swagger fought him off, and then turned around and Big Show chokeslammed him through the table, and the show ended with Big Show parading with a belt.
Not a fan of that segment.
No. There was a lame ending to what happened in a pretty good show. Well, actually, there's a lot of lame stuff in the show. A show of highs and lows, we'll say.
What a review.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roddy Piper. They went up and down.
They went up and down. It did. This show went up and down.
I'm not going to tell everybody where it is, but apparently the video went up of the match where Vinny and I faced the team, and one of the guys, when explaining what we were going to do in the match, said, okay, so at the beginning, you'll be winning on us, and then we'll be winning on you.
I think his exact plan was, when you're winning on us, you work the arm.
That's right.
When we're winning on you, we'll work the leg.
That's right.
And I watched the clip of it, and they did.
Sure enough.
When they won on us, they worked the leg.
I couldn't even watch the entire match. Was it any good?
Long.
I didn't see it was three, like, 8-minute segments.
Jesus. You sent me the one link. You sent me the link to part 2 of 3. And I watched it, and it's just goes and goes and goes. That ends, and I didn't realize there was a third part.
Oh, yeah.
It seems early enough in the second part that it just seems like it has just started. But no, there was a third part, and I did not watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's very long.
Yeah. Let's play a quick song here. Contreras sent it. It's called Star Wars Vinny V and Terry Funk. He says 5-star song. I could have sworn we played this.
I played this.
Maybe it's a new one, or maybe Contreras is just not paying attention. Let's find out. Anytime now this song can play. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, this is a giant rib.
Oh, you know what? I hit the wrong volume here, and I actually, there's no sound.
Uh-oh. Are we still recording?
Here we go. Of course we're recording. You can play any time now, song.
I almost fell off my stool.
This is an advanced
voice. Help
us. Tap your ass. Tap your ass. Tap your ass. Tap your ass. Satchel
ass! Only knew the power of the dark side. Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your...
Satchel ass!
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your...
Satchel ass!
My
takes. It's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
No! Why? No! Why?
Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father.
Ash!
I knew that was coming.
That was...
Well, that was 5 stars.
My face actually hurts from laughing.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Most are not that good.
No. I don't really want to even play any more songs after that
one. I don't
want to
do another show. Just play it again 4 or 5 times. We'll call it good. I don't want to talk about Raw. Oh, God.
Some talented dudes on this site here.
Contreras made that song?
I think so.
Contreras, well done.
Well done. All right. Well, Raw was not as good.
No. Raw was lame.
Raw was the Star Wars Episode 1. That's what it was.
You know, in some ways it was. It was the Jar Jar Binks of the WWE Universe. Randy Orton came out to address Edge when he was interrupted by Meatloaf.
Meatloaf!
The singer.
Mm-hmm.
Meatloaf came out. He has a new CD, I guess. And he was here to plug it. He said one of the songs would make a new great theme song for Randy. He said it was written by John Bon Jovi and everyone booed. And I just thought you didn't boo when Meatloaf came out, but you booed at John Bon Jovi's name. Randy asked him to hum a few bars. Meatloaf started to sing. Everyone hated it. Meatloaf said, "This album rocks, son." And he was annoying and just obnoxious until Randy RKO'd him and people went, "Yay." And it was, all they could think was, what a strange way to plug your album. To go on national television and have everyone make jokes about how bad it sucks.
Yeah, this was horrible. Do you think he sold one CD?
I cannot fathom that.
I mean, what person watched this and thought, I'm going to buy Meatloaf's CD because of this?
In 2010.
It sucked.
Meatloaf.
It sucked.
So Edge came out, said he didn't like celebrities either. He said he had complained to WWE Global Headquarters. And they had tweeted him back.
So how does that work?
I don't know.
Is there at WWE Headquarters? I mean, how do they tweet him back?
I guess Edge on his Twitter.
Does Edge have a Twitter? I'm unaware of this.
Apparently. And
Cena does.
Maybe it's Adam Copeland Twit or something. I don't know. But he sent a tweet
Adam
out.
Copeland
that
Twit.
Came, that was stupid. So he issued a complaint. You like that?
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yes, that was
He's going to jump right on that one when he hears it.
That was not as good as the Star
Adam
Wars drop.
Adam Copeland Twit.
So... Anyway, to make a long story short, effective immediately, the guest hosts now have no authority.
So why are they there?
I don't know. So, meanwhile, Edge was not satisfied. He said Raw needed a permanent GM. He took a long time to announce that it was Vicky. I thought this was great news. She came out. She was immediately overwhelmingly hated. She said regardless of what had happened in the past between her and Edge, she vowed to be a professional. Said Orton had been unprofessional for attacking guest hosts, vowed to punish him for his behavioral issues, and booked Orton versus Edge in a partner of his choosing.
Mm-hmm.
After Meatloaf, this was okay, I guess. I'm happy to see Vicky back on Raw.
Oh, yeah, Vicky and Edge back together.
Well, I remember that they were divorced. I had actually totally forgotten the promo he cut on her.
When he called her a cow or whatever else he called
and
her.
I had to go throw up after sex with her and stuff.
Yes.
Yes. I had forgot.
But they're back and they're friends, everyone.
They're doing fine.
Harry and Chris Jericho, or if Jericho won, him and Miz got the tag title shot at Over the Limit. 3 minutes. Harry made a comeback. Jericho poked him in the eyes. Hit him with the code breaker. 1, 2, 3. As vanilla a setup for a match as you could possibly have. It was barely acceptable.
I just love...
3 minutes? Come on now. There was 14 minutes of wrestling on this program.
Yeah, that's bad.
You don't say.
I just love they had for this match and for the Miz match later, the stip was, if the champion loses here, he must defend his title later. That's his punishment.
Well, you shouldn't be losing if you're the champ.
No, but you should be happy to defend your title at any point, too.
Not if you're a coward.
I guess so. So, Harry Smith is a coward here.
What?
Harry was not going to give Chris a title shot unless he could beat him. Oh, whatever. Who cares?
Well, maybe he would, but the WWE World Headquarters tweeted this match.
True.
That's why it took place.
So, we saw Edge talking to Big Dave backstage, theoretically trying to recruit him for his tag partner. Suffice to say, he did not get him.
Copeland and Twit.
So, Truth came out with Flava Flav, and as soon as they stepped on the stage, it was the best act in wrestling as of right now. They danced, they rapped, it was great. Flava plugged his new show, he declared himself the new Rod Serling and the new Crypt Keeper. And that's really all he said, but it took him a long time.
Then he just kept talking.
Yes.
And talking, and talking. They desperately wanted to get him out of the ring, and so finally they just rang the bell.
Yes.
There were men in the ring with Flava Flav, they rang the bell, he got the fuck out of there.
Yes. So he had Regal versus Truth. The Colons attacked in 30 seconds, which caused Flava to scream on commentary, "Oh my god, they broke my man's back right now."
Yes.
So it turned out Ted DiBiase...
Any more Flava Flav on commentary.
Indeed. And we were told that... The Colons reunited on Superstars, and then they went to the top of the ramp, and DiBiase paid them off. So it was all logical. It all made sense. DiBiase hates Truth, paid some guys to beat him up. It was just, you know, it was 30 seconds, so who cares? Then we had a skit.
Yes, we did.
Maurice was learning martial arts.
Judo, apparently.
As best as I could tell, judo. But she sucked at it. And she was so angry at how much she sucked at martial arts, she kicked her instructor's ass.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was just a shitty instructor.
He's a black belt.
He had a black belt on.
This was the big fuck you to UFC, is what this was.
I suppose. Yeah. It just made no sense.
Well, you see...
A wrestler can beat up a martial artist?
Well, that too, but also Eve is in jiu-jitsu, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And she's only a blue belt. Although they didn't mention that.
Sure.
Yeah.
So he had a short Orton promo backstage. He said he was not worried about Edge's partner, and he asked Vicky to be at ringside so he could RKO her. We had Buzz Aldrin plugging himself. Saying
sounds
he would...
horrible.
So what he did.
He's 80. Come on now.
Said he would take Raw to the moon. Then Mark Henry came in and hit him with a chair.
We need to ask Granny to watch Raw next week and find out if she'd hook up with Buzz Aldrin.
All right.
He's a handsome old man.
Very successful.
Sure. He's been to the moon.
Been to the fucking
maybe
moon.
Maybe take her to the moon.
What do you mean?
You know.
Huh. Yeah, Zack Ryder versus Evan Bourne. They were plugging that this is the last show in the arena, and also plugged Zack's gimmick. So he had Alicia...
They plugged Zack's gimmick. What exactly is his gimmick?
That he's...
A douchebag?
He's a douchebag who's trying to score with hot chicks.
Hmm.
So he had Alicia and Gail out there. And Alicia tried to screw Evan Bourne by tripping him from the top, but Gail cut her off. Evan hit his move and won. It all took maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Evan left with Gail. Yeehaw.
You're downplaying this. Vinny, you need to take some tips from Evan Bourne.
Well, that's true.
What you do is you walk up to the girl, you put your arm out, mm-hmm. and you just look at her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll look one way, she'll look the other way, she'll shrug her shoulders, she'll put her arm in yours, and you'll walk off and presumably fuck her.
I'll give that a go and report back.
Do it!
We'll see how it happens.
Let me know how it works.
All right. Cena came out. He thanked Sheamus for laying him out last week before he could announce a stipulation for his match with Dave, and thus giving him a week to think about it. He admitted that Dave was right. His win in the Last Man Standing match did not involve brute force or physicality. Said it was intellectual and creative. Said some critics saw it as a way to take the easy way out. But he said he was not a coward and he would prove it tonight. He said he stands here in a position of great advantage, which is always a great thing for a babyface to say. He said he could force Dave to wear a blindfold or handcuffs. Or was it jump on one leg? Be a third one?
Yeah, jump on one leg, he said.
That's money.
Somebody mentioned that was Zach Gowen's gimmick, but I want to see a stipulation.
You must jump on one leg.
You must jump on one leg through the majority of this match.
No, if your right foot touches the mat, you lose.
Yeah. Both feet touch the mat.
Yeah.
Like the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that should be it, yes. So, he said his match against Dave at the pay-per-view would be their last. Said if Dave won, he would forfeit his rematch clause. Then he finally declared that it would be an I quit match. So, there you go. So, tying a man's feet together with duct tape won't win you the match because he can simply not quit. You must actually beat him this time. Then he said he wanted to thank Sheamus in person. So, Sheamus came out. Sheamus came out and warned Cena that if he came down that ring, he would leave Cena in no condition to face Dave.
I knew that Sheamus would say fella.
He does say fella pretty much every time.
I love it.
Sure.
I love that gimmick. He needs a t-shirt that just says fella on the back.
Cena didn't care, so Sheamus went down to finish the job, but Dave attacked him from behind. And he heels double-teamed him for a while, and who should make the save but Mark Henry? Mm-hmm. All I can think of was, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
But he was the world's strongest man. He did. Sheamus just disappeared, but he roughed up Big Dave a little bit. So
was this where Big Dave took his absurd bump?
It must have been, because I didn't notice it either until I saw the animated GIF. I can't... Dave don't care no more, is all I can say. Dave has 1.5 feet out the door.
I wish I just knew what had happened. What was he thinking here? This was ridiculous.
I don't know if I can describe it, but they met at the ropes, and Mark Henry shoved him, and Dave took about 3 steps backward.
And leaped high
his
in the air.
If you've seen my avatar of Buck Zumhoff missing a dropkick, Dave did like the exact same bump.
Yeah.
Just leapt high in the air, threw his hands up, and landed flat on his back.
Mm-hmm.
Very ridiculous.
I'll say.
So, Edge met with Vicky backstage, said he had picked a partner. Then he said the last time they were on Raw, he had said some hateful things to her. But he'd only done it, he said, because he wanted fans to feel sympathy for her and thus be nice to her. But the fans were too big of assholes to do that, so it didn't work. So, he agreed they would still be friends. Asked her to come watch from ringside. Vicky said no, she didn't want to get hurt. Asked for a guarantee that nothing would happen. And Ed said, if Randy tries anything, you can just fire him. And this made Vicky happy. So she was going to go along with it now, and apparently she forgot about that by the end of the show. Tyson beat Miz in a minute. This is the match where if Miz lost, he had to defend against a Hart family member on the next show in Toronto. So it turned out that Miz got to pick which Hart member he selected. I was hoping it would be Natalya.
An odd stip, by the way.
If
you lose, you must defend against someone, but we'll let you choose.
Yes.
And apparently the girl's okay.
Yeah. But he didn't want to face her, which, again, is too bad. I think that would have been a pretty fun match.
Yeah, she'd have beat his ass.
Yes. So he picked Brett, and they cut back to the Hart Dynasty, and it was awesome because Tyson and Natalya were surprised and shocked and confused and bewildered, and Harry was just, his reaction was like, it's your funeral. He's going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
So there you go. Next week on Raw, Miz versus Bret Hart for the U.S. title.
I don't think Brett's going to kick his ass.
I bet not.
He may win. But I don't think he's going to kick his ass.
I don't know. We had a short promo with Dave backstage. He vowed to make Cena quit at the pay-per-view. Said to watch what he did to Mark Henry. And then we got an absurd match. John Morrison and Yoshitatsu and Goldust and Santino Marella versus the 8 rookies from NXT in a 4-on-8 handicap match.
Everybody involved in this looked like complete idiots. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Everybody involved. I mean, let's think about this. First off, by putting Morrison with Santino, Goldust, and Yoshi, he looked like an idiot.
Yes.
All the NXT guys facing 4 guys, they look like complete idiots.
Yes.
Poor Daniel Bryan standing on the apron there with all these other geeks. Just looked like a fool. And
so,
then, as we're all well aware, after all these weeks of losing every physical challenge, getting pinned by everybody, including Michael Tarver, what happens to Daniel Bryan? He pins Santino.
He hooks Santino Marella with a small package in a meaningless 4-on-8 handicap match on Raw and wins. That was his first big win.
Yeah.
I was so pissed. I have had to watch this entire storyline play out, and this was the climax. I was furious.
That's what happens when you don't know what you're doing.
It all led to
this. And you write a TV show that is stupid in NXT,
yes,
and people stop watching it, and the rating drops. And you decide, huh, well, it's not working. We're going to have to change all of our ideas. Maybe if your ideas weren't so fucking stupid going in. Seriously, your idea going in to get Daniel Bryan over was to beat him in every match on NXT.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. So he
furthermore, not just Daniel Bryan, but your idea is that you're going to do physical tests that involve guys drinking soda on live television. Hello? And furthermore, you're going to do a deal where guys win physical challenges and then go on to lose in the main event almost without fail every single week. How is anyone supposed to possibly get over on this show?
You're going to have...
Who could possibly care about this show?
And you're going to have a show where the guy whose gimmick is that he loses all the time is also on top of the pole.
Yeah, he's
telling
winning.
Fans the matches don't matter.
NXT has been such an epic failure.
It was such a great idea, and they've done everything about it wrong.
Yeah, it was a great idea. This is the invasion, although obviously not to this degree, but this is the invasion of 2010. Somebody that had so much fucking potential, and they managed to do every fucking single solitary thing about it wrong.
Yes. So, yes.
It amazes me that this place is still, like, making lots of money.
Sometimes it does boggle the mind, doesn't it?
I mean, think about this. Look at what an awesome job they did from January through March building up WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
They did every single solitary thing right. Meanwhile, on fucking NXT... They did every single solitary thing wrong. How is the same company responsible for both of this?
I don't know.
This is not like Impact where they do everything wrong. And like maybe 1 out of 100 things they do right. But 99% of the things that they do wrong. This is a company that they did every fucking thing right leading up to WrestleMania. And then you've got a show NXT and they literally did every single possible thing wrong. It's mind-boggling. God, I hated this.
Yes, and the NXT rookies all got together. They had a giant party. They lifted Daniel Bryan to their shoulders, which was odd, since they're all in competition with him.
Well, they're just happy for the fella.
And they celebrated a match they won when they had 4 extra people.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah. We had Flava Flav met with the Bellas backstage.
I'm pretty sure if me and you teamed up together and we beat up Brock Lesnar, we'd celebrate.
But we are not meant to be taken seriously.
But still.
In theory... If you and I got together and beat up Brock Lesnar, I would... Celebrate is not the word. Pray. I would kneel and give praise to God for he has performed a miracle.
Well, yeah.
So Flava Flav met with the Bellas. He plugged his show, repeated there was a mix of the Twilight Zone and... Tales of the Crypt. Thank you. Kozlov and Santino arrived. Santino wanted Kozlov to tag with him. Kozlov didn't want to because Santino always loses... An excellent point.
Oh.
William Regal showed up, and to make a long story short, he said anyone could rap, and so Kozlov pointed at him and said, Regal, do not just stand there, bust a move. Awesome. That moment was awesome. Regal did some poetry, Flava dubbed it the horrifyingest thing he'd ever saw, and then it ended.
Yeah.
It was wacky. We had Dave Bautista versus Mark Henry. Dave was just sitting in a chair waiting for Mark to make his entrance, and then when Mark got in the ring, Dave whacked him with a chair, put him in a wacky hold, left him laying.
Left him laying.
Left him laying.
To build up an I quit match.
Mark Henry did not quit.
No, he tapped. But so what? People can tap in every match.
Yes. Stupid.
This was a very stupid way to build up this match.
So that led to the main event of Randy Orton versus Edge and Ted DiBiase. Ted DiBiase is getting shredded. He's very lean. The story is now that he had a trust fund that went into effect when he had his first match at WrestleMania, so...
What?
That's what they said.
It's stupid.
I'm just telling you what they said. They said he got the money when he either A, turned 30, or B, had a match at WrestleMania.
Well, at least they put the turn 30 part.
All right.
Otherwise, what a stupid trust fund.
Well, yeah, so the story has always been he's been the son of a rich man, and now I guess he's independently wealthy. So, they had a match. Wasn't very long. Edge got shoved in the announce table. Truth came out to distract DiBiase. Orton hit an RKO and won. Then things got stupid.
Yeah.
Let's go back 45 minutes into the show. When Edge told Vicky that if Randy Orton tries anything, you can just fire him.
Mm-hmm.
So, Orton had won the match. He had laid out Edge. He had laid out DiBiase. This left Vicky defenseless. He stalked her more slowly than any cheesy movie monster of all time.
Yeah.
Just move forward 1 inch, wait 20 seconds. Move an inch, wait 20 seconds. She was screaming for help. She was screaming for Edge to help her. All I could think was, fire him.
Yeah.
Or threaten to fire him.
She was teasing, threatening to fire him.
Yeah. So this went on for a while until finally she said, okay, that's it. And I thought, you're firing him? And she said, I resign.
Yeah.
So now she's not his boss. Now he can hit his move with no repercussions.
Yes.
She's taken away the incentive to not RKO her.
Yes.
So she escaped. He RKO'd Edge. It was odd. It was pointless. This show was lame.
This last angle here was so stupid. I mean, when she first came out with Edge, I thought, well, this is stupid. But then they at least tried to explain it throughout the show. They had Edge saying, you know, I was trying to get sympathy for you. I didn't mean those things. We're both going to be hated. Let's just accept it and be friends. You know, they spent the whole show trying to make it make sense. Like, it's actually going to be a new angle on the show. And then they just rescinded it. Like, this could have been a 3-month storyline or a 6-month storyline. They just had to get her in and out in one day. And now, next week, she's probably going to be back. She's probably going to be back permanently in the role.
I'm just going back over this. There was really nothing
Who
good on the show.
Who wrote this fucking show? Who has wrote this show over the last 3 or 4 weeks now?
I don't know.
This show is as bad as Impact now. Think about that.
Yes.
This show is as bad as Impact. Get some
sucks.
People in there with a clue. Get a direction or something, for God's sake. Things were so great leading up to WrestleMania. And I know people have said, and this is a valid point, that Shawn Michaels off this show is death. That's true.
That's clear.
But it's not just the 14 minutes of wrestling. As noted, there have been shows in the past without a lot of wrestling where the rest of the show is so great that it's fine. You don't have to have a lot of wrestling on a wrestling show for it to be good. It certainly helps. But if you've got a whole bunch of angles and interviews and such, and they're all really great, and there's only time for a little bit of wrestling, that's fine as long as all that other stuff is good. That's not the case here. Shawn Michaels or no Shawn Michaels, this show is badly written. It's been badly written for weeks now. They gotta get a direction. They gotta find something, because this show, I can't say I'm looking forward to Impact, because all of the stuff that happens on this coming show sounds horrendous, but my God, I'm looking forward to something else. What's so funny?
I'm looking at some of the merchandise you can buy on therealbuff.com. You can buy a hat that says Buff. You can buy a t-shirt that says Buff, and there's a picture of a guy, about a 16-year-old kid who is not Buff, and he's wearing the shirt with a very small logo on the chest, and that's it. Or you can buy the Buff Gear Beer Cozy. He has action figures autographed for $55, videos and DVDs for $30 and up. So the action figure costs more than the DVD. Autograph stills, memorabilia, which is more toys mostly, all leftover Nitro stuff. There you go, everyone, realbuff.com. Christmas is on the way.
There you go. Let's do a song, and then we got some shout-outs here, and then we will wrap this thing up. Some good shout-outs here tonight, by the way. First, a little tune.
I had a friend named
Johnny the Bull,
who used to
run, jump rip the top rope, land on the top rope, and then spring out and land on his ass on the crash pad on the floor.
He thought he was the smartest guy in town, but I found out last Monday that
Johnny the Bull slams Terry on the floor or snaps on the floor or whatever and puts a chair on Terry's face.
They've got him in the
Nitro
way downtown.
He tore his urethra away from his bladder. He tore his urethra away from his bladder.
I told him once or twice to quit
the springboard leg drop to the floor. He tore his urethra away from his bladder.
Hooray. Hooray, hooray. Are you ready?
It's fine. Fine little song right there. Johnny the Bull, what an idiot.
He did something dumb.
Steve here says, I finally decided to cash in my shout-out. I was a freeloader for about 6 months, listening to the Brian and Vinny show while I ran. Helped make the miles go faster. What sold me on a subscription was when Brian was describing a SmackDown where the CM Punk Rey Mysterio program started. He described Rey and his family celebrating his daughter's birthday when the SES came down to the ring as Punk, Luke Gallows, Serena, and her boobs! And how she must have a brick in her pants to keep from toppling over. I actually had to stop running as I got a cramp from laughing so hard. People passing by must have thought I was having a seizure. At that point, I realized I had to subscribe as I didn't want to miss any of the magic.
The magic of fake boobs.
I also enjoy the audio archives of the Brian and Vinny show. Question, how hard were you biting your tongue during the interview with Rob Conway when he was describing how proud he was whenever he watches Divas on TV, knowing that he trained many of them? There are many times when I've had to bite my tongue doing shows, including quite a bit of times this particular afternoon. I have to go now. My five-year-old is putting me in an arm hold, and the ref is asking if I want to give up. No, 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 no. Keep up the good work, fuckers. That's from Steve Q. Is he making fun of me when I always yell that in my matches?
I don't know.
I never realized I did that till the fans started responding to it.
Repeating it.
Yeah. Brian, been a member for a while now. Keep forgetting to use my shout-out. Love all the shows, especially the Brian and Vinny show. I've never dared to go near the board. Notice on your Wikipedia page that your entrance music is listed as Wild and Young. Gotta love your song, huh? That's from Greg in the UK. Actually, apparently my Wikipedia has been vandalized so often. Let me go up there and
check. Did they just lock it?
I think they locked it. Like, you have to be somebody important to do something to it.
They did say you were dead.
They did say I was dead for a while. I think that was the final straw. Let's see. If you go to... Let me see here. I guess you can now. I guess they're not protecting it like they were. Well, now that I mentioned that, I'm sure it'll go back. Since
you're off the protected list.
I'll be credited with being dead again tomorrow or something like that.
Credited. You've achieved death.
I've achieved being no longer among the living. All right. This next shout-out here is from Chris. Brian and Vinny, I just subscribed for the first time. I love the shows the site puts up every day, particularly yours. In addition, the board has proven to be very entertaining, to say the least. Glad I was there to witness the great dollar increase riot of 2010, and also Vinny dancing. The site is a great value at any price. I don't expect the content would have me strongly considering a recurring subscription. So kudos. Despite being a decade-long member of the IWC, I never paid much attention to The Observer or Figure Four until I watched a Botchamania that featured you two tearing down a TNA pay-per-view, much to my amusement. A few free shows later, I was hooked. Keep up the great work, guys. Plug the best eFed ever, www.pgaprogressiveboink.com. Or maybe it's pga.progressiveboink.com. Something like that. He says, sorry, I'm in fact a nerd, even by nerd standards. Chris from I Falls.
I think anyone who actually identifies themselves as a member of the IWC is a giant nerd.
This is from our buddy Cotrere. Brian and Vinny, I just wanted to send this to announce that the first three editions of the Brian and Vinny Rewind for January through March 2009 are now up in the radio show section of the board. 2009, by the way.
Great news.
Sorry these are late, but I have a life now.
They're worth waiting for.
Everyone can check back in the next few weeks to the radio show sections. The other nine volumes will be uploaded over the next few weeks. Some of the topics in the first three volumes are Royal Rumble 2009 review with Brian's miserable friend Mark, rant on Shane McMahon destroying legacy, chronicle of the 2009 King of the Board, including Brian's debates with Crumbly and Ed on the Drunk Cast, which I coincidentally am co-host of with the great Craig and that other guy, every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. Brian asked for a refund from Comcast for a shitty TNA pay-per-view. WWE Kids Games, making fun of TNA fans. I don't remember that.
Oh, I do.
What was that about?
Remember when they cleared out the Impact Zone?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Brian Pregnancy Controversy. That was a good one. Review of WWE Hardcore DVD. Visits from Brent and Granny. The best Granny segments. All of them. I'm in charge of this, so fuck the 25. Shoutouts and songs. Also wanted to mention this Friday in the Drunk Cast, my Facebook friend Lance Storm will be joining us on the show. Also thanks to everyone who listens to the show. And as Ed would say, thanks to all who have pasted their comments in our show thread. P.S. Fuck Al Snow. Betrayer. So, yes.
All right.
If you sign up and you go to the radio show section of the board, all of these compilations are up there in the radio show section, January through March 2009. Brian and Vinny Rewinds. If you love this show, my God, is that ever the thing for you?
Indeed. It's the one or two funny things we say from each show all put together at once.
Brian and Vinny, this is from Sean. After freeloading for a few years, I finally took the plunge over the summer and became a member. It was only recently come to light on how vital this site is, as the audio archives have consistently entertained me while I toil away at my temp job. As a matter of fact, I just unearthed the greatness that is both the Kamala song and Missy Hyatt reading Brian's diary shortly after the merger. I would love to buy the rights to the latter and turn it into a feature film. If you are a casual fan or a complete wrestling goober asshole like myself, you will love this site. From the Dave's leather jacket thread to Brian's vocal resemblance to David Cross to the hilarious GIFs on the board that crash my web browser, you cannot go wrong. Drop the mad deuces and sign up already. I'd like to quickly promote my short film, Smark, a wrestling movie that can be best described as The Wrestler Meets King of Comedy Meets Ready to Rumble. It also stars, get ready, Vinny, Ted Arcidi.
What?
In the role of a lifetime.
Check his only role ever?
Check us out online on Facebook and at
Ted Arcidi.
Smarkmovie.tumblr.com. That's T-U-M-B-L-R.
I hope at some point in this movie he performs a bench press.
Probably does. Shout-outs to my wonderful girlfriend, Jen, Monday Night Mayhem, my Lasertron, Jimmy Valiant tag team on my SmackDown vs. Raw video game, The Devil, Kevin Sullivan, Kung Fu Billy Graham, stealing the Sandman's beer in 1997, Troy the Boy Buchanan, Labatt Blue Beer, and Tim Horton's Coffee. Fuck offs, Lex Luger, and every video game he's ever been in, student loans, and the entire state of Florida. Don't let Brian Fritz hear that one. Please review more classic wrestling. Keep up the fine work. That's Sean. We should do some more classic wrestling at some point. I'll put that in the list here. So anyway, yes, if you sign up, don't forget, if you sign up, you get a free shout-out. Just send it to brian@wrestlingobserver.com. Shout-out in the subject line. Everybody who signs up to this wonderful website gets a free shout-out. So use it wisely, my friends. And you can also go to the front page of wrestlingobserver.com. In the More tab, you can scroll down, and somewhere in there, I think there's a deal about how you can... shout-outs. There's a button you can buy a shout-out if you want one every single week, for example. All right, we're going to do one last song here, and then we're going to wrap it up. Klitz has written this. It's a preview for Vegas. He has promised to no longer try to get Wild and Young in there. I'm going to trust him. And if he lies, I'm never going to play a song by Klitz ever again. Mark my words. So, let's give this one a shot.
A great time will be had by all.
Indeed.
Or at least me.
Indeed.
I guarantee you I will have fun.
If you can have fun on this trip, you know, I don't like to recommend people end their lives or anything like that, but you got to figure something out.
There's no need to kill yourself, but you really should just never leave the house again.
Hey. We need strippers and fucked up girls.
That was the seminal Vegas moment, I think. Ed's rant on Dave Meltzer and who else? Was this the board?
I think so. Yeah, Vegas is coming up, everybody. It's coming up soon. And if you want more, head to the martial arts, mixed martial arts section of our board right now. It's the weekend of the 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th. It's all in Las Vegas. All the information is up on the board. We'll put in Friday's daily update perhaps as well. So anyway, you miss out on all the fun here if you're a freeloader. So sign up, join the fun, And if not, I guess we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. But for everybody else, we'll talk to you tomorrow. New Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. We'll have Todd Martin on Thursday. And then Friday, we've got the dual shows with Dr. Lucha, Steve Sims, and Conan. And then later on in the afternoon, the devil himself is on the show, along with Mikey Whipwreck. Jim Mitchell and Mikey Whipwreck on the show. It's going to be awesome, so check it out. That's it from here. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Au revoir.